With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to the Punters, Mate on SEN.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Punters, Mate. We are at December. We've made December, Sammy, the 1st of December 2023.
Yeah, good.
And by my calculations, that's 24 days until Christmas. Does that sound about right?
Wow. Isn't it? Yeah, that's it.
Have you got everything sorted?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Look, you've heard me off air talking about the whole basketball jersey story, but I never imagined that basketball jerseys would be so expensive, and then I had to buy five of them, and I think I know why Fitnik has sent me down to pick up these five basketball jerseys. And yeah,
tell us how much.
I was distraught.
How much each?
$189.95. $189.95.
That's $190.
Are you serious? Five. I had to get five.
$950.
Wow.
Five jerseys.
And I was
what?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what a rock. Well, we. But anyway.
And I can guarantee. What sizes were they?
My small. They were smalls.
Well, in 2 years they'll. You'll need to get another five.
But that's the other thing I said to Nicole. Why don't we get large? And she goes, well, they're just little. Like Will's not eight. Will's eight. And his cousins, they're only little. And I said, hang on a minute. Buy them large and they'll have them for life.
And if they're too long, just take them up.
When I paid for them, I thought they were gold-plated. I thought these were gold-plated. Unbelievable. Amazing. So, anyway.
I was going to ask you how your
week was. She's the best auntie going around.
I was going to ask you how your week was, but up until then was probably okay, but now it's taken a turn for the worst.
Well, thanks to JJ, we're back to winning yesterday. So, that was, and so I bought
the pay for them?
I bought the basketball jerseys beforehand, and then I came home and I was sitting there going, geez, I need to find some form today. And Josh Jenkins, he sent through an absolute beauty in Frawley. At Geelong, and wow, it won well.
What did it pay?
It paid $520.
Oh, okay.
So, nice stuff.
Load up. So, what else has happened this week? Bit of rain around your neck of the woods? None up my way. None.
Yeah, there's been a bit of rain about. The lawn's looking amazing. Great for the garden. And,
Have you got the weather station at home? Have you got one of those?
No.
You've got to get one of those.
Really?
Yeah, they're fantastic. You put this weather station up and it tells you the wind and everything like that. You got a little readout. I've got a little readout on my desk that tells me the temperature inside, outside, the humidity, the direction of the wind, the barometer pressure. Real nerdy stuff. Real nerdy stuff. Yeah, you've got to get one. They're fantastic.
I don't get into the weather that much.
But I was looking yesterday morning, 7:30, I think it was, and it's right up on the back fence, which gets the sun in the morning. And I always say it's hotter here in the morning than any other time of the day. It had 38 degrees on it at 7:30 in the morning.
Really?
And then it dropped away to 32, 31. But, gee, it's been hot. And, look, we've had storms in certain places this week in southeast Queensland and other parts of Queensland. And we may even get another one tonight, which may affect our meeting at Doomben tomorrow, which is a really good meeting, Sam. We've got the George Moore, we've got the Mode, we've got the Tails, and we've got these country finals series races, or the finals of these country races, races 3 and 5 at Doomben tomorrow, and they are, as usual, lotteries. If you can find the winner of those races and box up some exotics, I think you'll be doing okay. But they are the bush finals, and it's always a good day because you get all the bush folk turning up to the races. And you can pick them because they're all wearing the bigger Cobras and the Ringers Western shirts. So they look pretty good out there and they'll have a great time. And they bring plenty of owners and whatever with them. So good crowd at Doomben tomorrow. We've got the likes of Rotfire, Zeus Style going around. Rotfire might be weather permitting. According to Rob Heathcote, if we get a heavy track, he probably won't run. Don't want to flatten him because they've got that King of the Mountain coming up, Sam.
Alan Russell famously said, the bigger the hat, the crazier the horse.
Since when do horses wear hats? All right. As I said, the rain could be the query. Now, news. Big night at Albion Park last night. We had the Golden Greys, of course, and the winner, which escapes me. But I know it's got Jack in the name somewhere. I better look that up in a moment. We'll head towards that big $1.65 million race in Melbourne. So well done there to all concerned. ID23. You know what that is, Sam?
Inter Dominion 23.
Kicks off at Albion Park tonight.
You beauty.
The Inter Dominion. Not as big as it was, but, you know, it's still good.
Yeah.
It's this year especially because this is the last one we'll have here, obviously, at Albion Park, because Albion Park will be no longer. So it's worth getting along to if you can.
That's it. Well, it's been a famous place, hasn't it, Albion Park?
Oh, it has.
Over the years, when you look at the history of Albion Park, and it's good that you know, they're going to have a big time with the Inter Dominions there.
Good way to go out, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's a shame. Another piece of history disappears. I don't like it. I don't like it, Sam.
No, it's one of those things. It's even there was a bit of word during the week with SEN's very own Wayne Hawks coming out with some big comments
about
the Warrnambool Carnival. I thought that was a bit daring. That was a bit daring, but
why?
That's Wayne. He's a beauty for
what
it.
What was his reasoning for that?
I think he was wanting it to be a lead into the Adelaide Cup, but the Adelaide Cup has moved. It's moved a few times, and it's earlier in the year, so that doesn't suit because we'd be running grand annuals on firm ground then, wouldn't we? So that would be no. Just leave it where it is.
Can't we just leave things the way they are?
That's right. Exactly. I'm
always looking to change things.
I'm old school. You've heard me say it many times. With all these pop-up races and all these changes, and are we any better off? Are we any better off? You know?
Well, I read something during the week that I thought was interesting. With all these, racing had a sugar hit, as we know, during COVID, and all these pop-up races appeared, you know, during that time and after. Are they sustainable?
No.
I don't think they are.
They're not.
I'd really
well, love
to
look at the All-Star Mile. It's a complete, dare I say it again, that, we had thousands and thousands and thousands of people voting for these horses, and now this year we're not going to vote. Oh, we're getting rid of the voting system. So it's all smoke and mirrors.
I would
it's
love to
rot.
Have a crystal ball and just see how many of these pop-up races, and Sydney's the main culprit with these, how many of them we have in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think it's sustainable. With the wagering dollar not being where it was during that COVID time, something's got to give.
And then I read, was it the Stradbroke's got a slot component now?
It has. It has. The winner of the Gateway, which is coming up shortly, doesn't necessarily, the connections or the owners of the winner, they can nominate another horse for that position.
Right.
So if April in Augusta had won the Gateway, her owners.
You could have sold the slot.
We could have sold the slot and gone with Equinox or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, Equinox come out. How good was Equinox in that Japan Cup?
It was such an exciting race, and I tell you what, it's not something that I give much worry about too much is that the jockey cam, but I actually watched Christophe Lemaire had it on Equinox, and it had the microphone, you know, you could hear as he was going along in the race, and I was interested to see if he talks to Equinox throughout the run or when he asked to pick up. But I watched the whole thing, and it was really good footage, actually. And
he
didn't talk to it, but it was I did notice, though, when he pulled up and he spoke in three different languages.
Wow.
When thanking jockeys, you know, jockeys coming up to congratulate him. And, yeah, he's a jet, isn't he? And
very smart.
But Equinox, wowee. It, you know, there was that tearaway leader in the race, which, you know, it had a huge margin coming into the straight, but he had so much confidence in that horse, and he knows it inside out. And, wow, as soon as he pushed the button, he just lengthened, and it was amazing. Great win.
And now has been retired.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. So it'd be worth an absolute fortune in the breeding barn, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't he just? Wouldn't he just?
Saturday, or last Saturday at Doomben, we had a really good day's racing. It wasn't as wet. Now, the wet track threw me. Saturday morning, did all the selections and thought, oh, there's certain horses here that'll struggle in the wet. Comrade Rosa, Zarastro maybe. Does my head in wet track, Sammy. And, of course, I was made to look stupid when they both won. But Tony Gollan dominating the early part of our summer carnival. I think we've had three main races, two at the Sunshine Coast the week before and two last week. The only one he hasn't won was the Mooloolaba Cup, which June 45 won for Rob Heathcote. So he won the Swiss Ace with Natuno. And he won the Tats Classic last week with Comrade Rosa and the recognition with Zarastro. Zarastro was very impressive, Sam.
Yes.
Barry at a box.
It was impressive, wasn't it? It was.
21.74 between the 1200 and the 800 was pretty quick on a soft six track and just kept on going and won by 3.5 lengths. That was 13.50, which was supposed to be a little bit of a query for Zarastro. Didn't look that way.
No danger.
No danger.
No
at all.
Danger.
Now, we saw a promising horse in the second race, Astapor for Clinton Taylor, who is no stranger to bringing good horses from Rockhampton to the city. He did it with Chinny Boom, of course, last season. Astapor won on debut at Rocky, then looked pretty good winning at Doomben last Saturday. Obviously, you know, heading towards the Magic Millions and probably has enough money in the bank now, but he's going to face much, much stronger opposition than, and no disrespect, than the Mashanis last week.
Yeah, well, it's been a good move by Clint Taylor, and he's a very good trainer. I know Grubby rides a lot up north, and he says to me he's one of the best trainers up there at Rocky, Clint Taylor. And he just knows when it's the right time to bring one to Brisbane, and that horse to get looks like it's got a great future about it.
Rosso won. God, imagine trying to find it. They hit one. Rosso. Anyway, you went on that, were you, Sam? What were you on last week? What was your tip last week? I can't even remember. Did it win? You're not looking at me as though it won.
I can't remember.
It didn't win.
Now, too much has gone on.
Yeah, well, you've had to go out and buy $950 worth of basketball jerseys. All right, let's have a chat, Sammy. Now, I read some places yesterday, social media and other outlets. There was a bit of a chat around about, do jockeys earn too much money? Do they not earn enough money? And I thought you'd be the perfect person to ask. It's hard for me to have much of a say on it because I'm not a jockey. How much do you know how much the jockeys get per race?
In Victoria, a jockey gets paid $251.50.
Not metro, country, anywhere?
All over. Okay. All over.
Even so, if they're at the picnic?
I don't know about picnics.
We'll leave out picnics. Yeah, okay, so I don't know about tab picnics. Meetings, professional meetings.
But $251.50 and then 5% of the prize money. And you know what? It's a good number. I don't think they need to get paid any more. And especially when they turn up to the races and they can't even put an extra pair of goggles on a heavy track. I mean, we hardly go around on heavy 10s anymore because when it gets to heavy 10, we can't see. Oh, yeah. We can't see. So it's, and many will know that's one of my big beefs is just put another pair of goggles on. It's ridiculous. And you see jockeys all around the world. Imagine if you're on a heavy 10 at Hong Kong, you came in and said they can't see, they'd tell you to get on the plane, go back to Melbourne. You'd soon be able to see.
Wonder
you?
What they get per ride in Hong Kong.
It's
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they the tax issue is very good in Hong Kong. I think it's only in 10% tax, so it's a lot better than here in Australia. But it's $251.50 whether you run first or last, and then 5% of the prize money, and then it was always an extra 5%. For connections,
is that a given?
But it used to be, but nowadays I don't think people pay. There'd be still. Lloyd Williams was always a great slinger, and there'd be people that would sling jockeys, but
and there'd be owners that win big races that probably sling more than 5%.
Yeah, exactly. But back in back in my day, it was, you know, you'd always get a sling from country trainers. You know, often, you go to sale and ride a winner or two, and you'd come home with 400 cash and you kick. Just, yeah. It's great. Buy the drinks on the way home and buy the drinks the next day too.
So get you a couple of basketball jerseys.
Get you a couple of jerseys, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and maybe a VB thrown in.
So I think it's where it's at. I think it's a good spot where it's at. You know, for horse trainers, it's a tough gig, you know, and I know how hard it is for a lot of trainers, and you know, you think about you have to take that after it's run eighth, you have to take that horse home and
yep,
and feed it and place it where you think it can win and bring you in some prize money and talk to the owners and rah rah and yeah, I mean, it's a tough gig being a horse trainer, and you know, the top of the tree, it's they're handsomely paid and they do really well, but it's yeah, down the list, it's a really tough gig, and yeah, I think the fact that jockeys go home with a good wage, whether they run first or last, which is not the case for the horse trainer. And do you know what? It's hard enough for horse trainers to get paid from some people. I mean, and you know what? We need better training conditions. We need training tracks to be better, up to speed, and better facilities for horse trainers to take horses to the races so they can win. And a lot of people forget about that. You know, it's there's so much that goes into training racehorses. And if I just as an outsider looking on, you know, I don't think the training facilities are up to scratch at lots of places, especially in Victoria. So that would be a good start of putting more money into that.
I could never be a jockey. I think it's very, very brave what jockeys do, and it's running around a half a ton horse very quickly. But one thing that stuck out to me when I first got here, and I had to go and do some interviews in the mornings, going back about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had to interview some jockeys at Eagle Farm after track work. I'm not going to name those jockeys, but I'll just say they were successful jockeys, but they weren't riding Group 1 winners or anything like that. But the cars they were driving really surprised me, Sammy. They were driving top-notch Mercedes, Range Rover, car, and I thought, oh, there's a bit more money in this than I thought there was.
Well, that's, yeah, and do you know what? They deserve to be well paid.
That's, no issue
that's,
from me.
That's for sure.
But it just surprised me.
But I think as far as saying that they need more money or they should be getting 10% of the prize money is, I think that's a bit of a stretch because I think we can, you know, we can – look after the trainers a bit more and make the conditions easier for them to keep their horses sound and so we have them for longer, yeah. You know? I mean, without the horses, we don't have it, you know? So nope. I think there needs to be, you know, I definitely think if money should be going anywhere, it should be going into training facilities.
All right, now speaking of jockeys, our guest today will be Ryan Maloney, who's coming up very shortly. Racing action continues.
He is loaded, completely loaded.
Well, you can ask. Well, he was able to get his teeth done. I'm not going to ask him that. I'm not asking you, Sammy. I'll leave that up to you. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. And I can tell you, over the weekend, we are racing, of course, at the Sunshine Coast tonight. But tomorrow we race at Doomben, as I mentioned, the George Moore, the Tail Stakes, the Mode Stakes, the Country Cups Challenge Final and the Country Stampede Final. We race at the Gold Coast on the Polly. Don't forget, next Saturday we go to the grass the first time, the new grass track at the Gold Coast. So looking forward to that. We've got a Townsville meeting up north. We race at Toowoomba tomorrow night in the Twilight Zone. And then we're back to the Sunshine Coast on Sunday afternoon. Now, Sammy, as I mentioned, Ryan Maloney is our first guest this morning. Now, we'll put it on Ryan straight away. Ryan, good morning to you, first of all.
Morning, boys.
I just, Sammy and I just had a bit of a chat because there was some talk going around yesterday that jockeys are paid too much and other people were saying jockeys are paid not enough. What do you think? Do you think you're paid too much or not enough? I know what your answer is going to be.
What is enough? How much is enough?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we get paid well enough. I certainly wouldn't say no to a pay rise, though. But it's a dangerous job, but we all know that. So I was crossing a road at the end of the day. So a lot of people just have to agree or disagree, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. It's in a matter of opinion.
Well,
Sammy agrees.
I think
with you.
Well answered. I said I think it's at its right spot, and if anything, Pug, I just know how hard it is for horse trainers, and I think training facilities. If we made training facilities better, then we can have horses for longer, and then it all flows on from there, because without the horses, the jockeys have got nothing to ride.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, 100%. I think we really forget quickly about the conditions that trainers need for horses to get them to the races sound and well and all the rest of it. And it can be left behind a little bit, I reckon.
100%, you're right, Sammy. So you only sort of have to venture out to, I think, Victoria and Sydney do it really well. Queensland's starting to get there. But I just think, a lot of jurisdictions wouldn't have the funding or wouldn't get the funding that they really need to make it A-class sort of for the trainers.
Now, Ryan, you headed down to Sydney in the early part of the spring, and you hooked up with Sunshine in Paris, who it looked like was going to be in the Everest, or was actually in the field before she went amiss. Look, she must have felt really good when she won that race prior.
Yeah, she certainly did. A lot of people were knocking her, saying the trials and whatnot wasn't up to scratch, but she's a mare that just really does what she has to, and the way she toyed with him in that first up run, I really give her a good, top placing chance in the Everest, and unfortunately just went amiss.
Yeah. And the trip to Sydney, was that sort of based around her?
Basically, yeah. I just thought I was flying in, flying out last time, and I sort of couldn't really get any momentum either side in Queensland or Sydney. So I just thought I may as well just have a crack and see if I can sort of pick up any medicine else. And it was a bit hit and miss, but I think I would have regretted it if I didn't have a crack at it.
And is that something you'd think about doing again, or you've done it now and you think, unless there's a real reason to do it, I wouldn't want to do it again?
Yeah, no, I mean, if the support's there, I'd be silly not to, but I'm pretty happy in Queensland, so while I'm getting support, it's probably bit hard to do it again.
Did you improve your golf game with all that bit more time on your hands down there?
I only actually played once down at St. Michael's, and then the weather isn't as good there as it is here. So
you must have had a bad round.
On,
yeah, it's a problem, isn't it? It is hard to get on. It's not worth it, is it? You get there and there's 25 people on the first tee, and you think, this is not worth it. I'll go home, and you don't go back.
Yeah. No. But I stay busy enough, so I did enjoy it, so it was worth it in the end.
Pug, there's a lot of top jockeys there in Sydney, and I'm interested to find out how competitive and how different it is seeking out rides. And when you came up here, you got support straight away, and then bang, you were away, and you're one of our leading jockeys up here in Brisbane. You've got good book of rides all the time, and so you get good support. Then you go somewhere like Sydney, and I would imagine that it's a bit more competitive as far as the jockeys go. Is it pretty cutthroat down there?
Yeah, pretty much is it anywhere really where you go, Sammy. But down there it is. It's extremely cutthroat. And basically, if you haven't got the support, it doesn't matter how good you ride. Annabelle was really good, but I just seemed to struggle to get any momentum. A few times after the Sunshine one, the train did ring actually the next week, but I was in Melbourne, so it just sort of halted that sort of momentum going forward. But it's hard enough getting trial rides down there, to be honest. So it's just they're very locked into who they use, and it's hard to get a look in.
Now, you've started the summer carnival off on a great note, and no doubt you will continue to do that as we go through towards the Magic Millions. Just looking at rides tomorrow at Doomben. Now, you're on Felix the Scat in race two for Tony. You did ride Felix the Scat at the Sunshine Coast. A lot of these horses come out of that same race. You'd think getting up to the 2,000, he'd start to hit his straps now.
Yeah, I don't think it will pose a problem. Obviously, there's a number of them hitting the 2,000 metres for the first time, but just the way he hit the line the other day, I think he's he doesn't overexert himself in the run. He saves all his energy for he conserves his energy really well throughout the run. So
yep,
I don't think we'll pose a problem. Obviously, we can never say if they the first time. That's all they do it, but I don't think from that good draw, it's a similar form line as to the other day, why he couldn't be certain in the finish.
Now, I'm keen on your thoughts about race four, number three, Defiant Spirit, because I was very keen first up, and I honestly thought there was a lot of speed in that race and you'd probably end up taking a trail. You didn't, and you only got beaten narrowly. The run was a good one, but do you think tomorrow there's more chance that you might just sit off them?
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't believe how well he began the other day. And he raced quite fresh. He just didn't really want to come back underneath me. And to be honest, I was surprised how well he did kick on, because he was racing against me basically the whole race and didn't conserve his energy as much as he can. But I say with that under his belt, hopefully I haven't taken too much out of him. He looks ideally placed tomorrow. And I think he's probably, going through the form lines, he's probably got the best form lines throughout the race.
Pug, race number five is the Country Cups Challenge. No Metro wins for the last 2 years. And you're riding one for Johnny Manzelman. This also says by See the Stars. He's been a seven-time winner. The Driller.
The Driller, yeah, I've actually rode him. I think his son trained him, and that's when I rode him. But look, he's quite honest. He's been up for quite a while, but they're all sort of in the same boat, I guess. They're all
bangers.
Coming from the far north in Queensland. So gets the right run in the race. When I rode him, he stuck on really well. So I couldn't see gets the right run in the race why he couldn't figure in the finish.
Now, in the George Moore, you're riding Zoo Style. Now, you rode Zoo Style in the Swiss Eights. It was a huge run from that wide gate to be only beaten just under three lengths. He's obviously got form in stronger races down south. Yeah. Now there's some thought that Rothfire, if it gets to a heavy track, will not run, which would be great for Zoo Style. But I can see Zoo Style clearing those horses. And if Rothfire's out of the picture, he's going to take some running down, I reckon, around Doomben.
100%. Yeah, we all know when he gets in his... in that beautiful rhythm, he can use his big stride, and he is quite hard to run down. And certainly with a bit of give out of the track, it certainly won't hinder his chances. But just the other day, unfortunately, we drew pretty ordinary. And by the time we sort of linked up from the course proper, they all kicked up inside me, and I was just planted out there. And he's done a really good job to stuck on and run forward.
And on to the last, you ride Aussie Nugget, who is he's not hopeless first up, this horse.
No, it generally takes one or two to bring him on, but he trialed quite good. Jumped out quite well at Doomben the other day. And certainly there's good enough pace in it to suggest that there will be generally run. So if he can get to that midfield line, I couldn't see if he had a last crack at him why he couldn't figure in the finish again like the others.
Now, Pug, you've got one ride at the Sunny Coast tonight, race number 5 on Singer Sergeant. Is that a push there?
Oh, hopefully, yeah. I think he was fit the other day at Ipswich. He didn't really get a good crack at him until the last 100. But Sunny Coast, drawn well. Big track, was suiting down the ground. The same connection with Sunshine and Paris, so I was more than happy to go up there for one. But if it's a winner, it certainly makes it worthwhile.
How's the just from not that I've done it for a while on a Friday night, the old Bruce Highway. But what time that race is at 8:30? That race is at 8:30. What time are you thinking hitting the road and tackling that traffic?
Well, the other day I left home at 11:30, thinking that I was going to miss it all, and I copped most of it. And everyone that said they left at about 2:30 said it was pretty good. So. Look, 8:30, hopefully most of this traffic's gone by then, but I'm certainly not holding my breath. I'll just be guided by the NAB man what time to leave.
But, well, I can tell you, not I drove down there, I drove the other way from up to down this morning, and I can't believe they had roadworks going at 6:30 on a Friday morning and banked up for half an hour. I mean, I don't know who makes these decisions, but it was a nightmare. And there's a lot of roadworks going on that road still, so... Fingers crossed for you, Ryan.
School holidays start too, so that's
you're right. Could do with another road heading up that way. It wouldn't go straight.
Another two lanes would be good.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, one of these days. Ryan, thanks so much for your time. Always appreciate it. Great to chat to you. Good luck for the rest of the summer carnival. Have a great Christmas to you and your family, and we'll catch up with you again shortly.
No, boys, you too. Have a good one.
Thanks very much. Ryan Maloney joining us there. Sam, we know how good Ryan rides. And as I said the other week, it's great to have him back from Sydney because hardly a meeting goes by where he doesn't ride one or two winners.
It really is. And he's just so settled up here. You know, you can tell he's so comfortable with making the move. He's got a great family. And he's just a great fella, Pug.
Nice guy.
Really nice fella and just goes out and puts them in the right spot.
He does.
A great jockey.
So. Always said he reminds me of Damien Brown a bit.
Yeah.
Just puts them in the right spot and he's not really overly aggressive.
Yeah.
He just gets the best out of the horses.
Yeah, that's it. He's just, and he's, you know, nothing's a problem for Pug and he's always been the same. Good on him. It's great to see him. I love seeing him ride winners.
Now imagine what you could be buying instead for free and confidential support. Visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Sammy, we'll go for a break. We'll be back with Sausage of the Week.
This is the Punter's Mate on SEN.
Sausage of the Week time, Sammy. What do you got for us this week?
Oh, Chris-o, I've got a sausage for you.
Good.
And my good friend Chris Maher trains this sausage.
Oh, hang on.
He's a great trainer.
Whereabouts is this hail from, this horse? Victoria?
No.
Here? Give me a clue.
He's a Queenslander. He went round in the first race at Doomben last week.
Hang on.
His name.
Oh, I know him.
His name goes by... Security advisor.
Yeah, he is a muncher.
He will get you in this rat bag. He dead set gets you in. He has got sausage written all over him.
I'll just tell you,
his last five runs at Eagle Farm, he's beaten three lengths.
Yeah.
Good run.
Get on me next time.
He went to Ipswich. He ran fourth, beaten a length. Good run. At Doomben, over the 2000, he got beaten 0.98. He sat out on speed, and he looked the winner, but he said, not today. Then he went to Doomben 2000. He got beaten two lengths beyond Flying Joy. And this is next start. This is the time you want to get on at Doomben, the 2200. Get on. And what did he do? He got beaten 1.5. He just does it. Carita. He just does it to you. Yeah. He does it to you. Security advisor is my sausage.
I'm going to put one in here, Sammy, that probably isn't very fair. Scalopini. Oh, he's a.
I did see this on the rundown last night, and I thought, ooh, he's. I tell you what, he's being brutal here.
I'm going to say he probably.
Because I tell you what, I backed Scalapini.
And he was ordinary.
I backed him.
He wasn't
him.
Given much chance, though.
Do you know what? He didn't have a. He had a tough run, right? And I. My. Initially, when I saw Scalapini on the rundown, I thought, ooh, this one will bring you undone. Because he's a good horse.
He may do. He is a good horse, but he just.
He had a tough run.
I've got a disclaimer here, and that is, if he goes around Flemington, he's not a sausage, but he seems to come back to Queensland, and he just doesn't race the same way in Queensland. He gets beaten up here, yet he goes down south and he wins. I mean, you look at his wins he's run. His last three wins have been Flemington, Group 3, 1400. Flemington, Group listed race, 1400. Flemington, the listed race, 1400. And before that, the last time he won was January 2022 in Queensland. He won the Sunshine Coast Cup by a small margin. And before that, you got to go a long way back to 2020 when he won the Hinkler, a listed race at Doomben.
Okay,
so
okay.
In Queensland, I'm going to say he's a little bit of a sausage.
Ooh.
And I thought they'd go forward on him last week and lob in behind the leaders. And nah. No urgency from the start at all. It was never, ever. And you said you backed it. It was never, ever going to win, was it?
No.
Never, ever.
It wasn't.
So you're in the finish.
It was never going to win.
And I'm putting the catch in as well. I reckon that was a poor effort ride-wise. Took off from well before the turn, but I still think it's a muncher as well. So I'm
Chris
going.
Nelson from long range.
From the deep. Scalapini and the catch. Scalapini in Queensland. Okay.
Boom.
And the catch. And you've gone with security.
What?
Advisor. Yep, that's it. Exactly. Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Now, there's no Gibbo today.
Okay.
So we'll get to the tips in a moment. But you know how we love to sometimes play these odd race calls that you get from all around the world? Some funny ones?
Yes.
Nothing better than seeing people mess up.
You've got one.
I got one from America. This was a couple of weeks ago. We hadn't got around to playing it, but you got to feel a bit sorry for this young lady calling the race. She got a bit tongue-tied.
They're trying to reel in Haney Boys, who's free on the front end. Here comes Harley Charlie with a late bid. It is going to be Haney Boys trying to hold on the outside. Here's Harley's Charlie, Bullet Butch on with the late run, and Haney Boys gets the win.
Oh. Once she said the word B-I-T-C-H, she lost all control. She thought, oh, my God, what have I said? And then the concentration went.
Was she trying to go too fast? I think she was going a bit fast.
But well, I don't know. But look, it can happen to anyone.
It's a tough gig.
It's a very tough gig. I don't know how
Andrew
they do
Payne's
it.
Andrew Payne's very good at race calls. Andrew Payne.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very, very good. Yeah.
Do we need to get him on and give
us
a race call?
Yeah, I think we should get him on. Get him on. He used to be very funny when we were younger, apprentices, and he loved doing the race calls.
There is some, I mean, there's the worst one I ever heard was the poor guy, I think, at Warwick. He got the whole thing wrong. He got everything wrong. And at the towards the end, he said, oh, well, that's it. I can't do much about it now.
Did he?
I'll find that for you next week,
okay.
The Warwick race call.
I haven't heard that.
Very hard to find these days, but I will get that for you
Should we hear it again, boys?
Yeah, why not?
They're trying to reel in Haney Boys, who's free on the front end. Here comes Harley Charlie with a late bid. It is going to be Haney Boys trying to hold on the outside. Here's Harley Charlie with a late run, and Haney Boys gets the win.
Imagine if that was someone in the box with you laughing like that when you said it.
That would put you off.
So that's right up there. Mark Braybrook and I, on the early days of the Punters, mate, used to put these on all the time. And we had some rippers, actually. And we might go back and find a few of those over the next couple of weeks. Because I've only got you for next week, and then you're gone again. I've got to find a guest host.
Oh, really?
Anyone out there wants to join me,
boom.
Contact me.
Yeah.
I need a guest host. Now, tips. As I said, no Gibbo this week. He threw out a tip for this is a shocking word, thalassophile. But I don't even know where it's running. Is it running in Melbourne? It's not running in Sydney or Brisbane that I knew of, thalassophile. So I'll find that. He texted me with maybe thalassophile. So I don't know if that means.
Is he out boxing training?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. He did send me something about that during the week too, so I'll look at that in a moment. But, Sammy, what are your tips?
Okay, I am going to Doomben in the George Moore.
Mm.
And I love this race. This is actually one of the first race meetings that I worked at up here in Queensland four years ago, the George Moore Stakes. And And I was lucky enough to meet George Moore.
Oh, really?
Go out for dinner with George Moore. And
what was he like?
He's a great fella, champion. Yep. And he was telling us stories, John Dinham and I telling us stories about when he was riding against our dads, Pat and Mitch. And he's a lovely man. It was great fun. And I'm lucky enough to have a picture. I won a feature race in Macau, and George presented me with the trophy. So it holds that picture holds pride of place in the lounge room downstairs. I love it. So, and what an outstanding jockey he was. My dad used to say the best jockey, Roy Higgins and George Moore, the best jockeys he has seen. And he had an amazing record, and they reckon he used to just control Sydney. He was a legend.
Well, him and Tommy Smith were a team, weren't they?
Yeah. Exactly. So in the George Moore, I am race 8, number 9, All That Pizzazz. Tony Golan and Ange Jones. I think this will be winning. At Caulfield, I like race 5, number 3, Ain't No Deal and Done. It's going for 4-0 this, but gee, it's found its right race. The Eclipse Stakes and the Lamaro's Hotel Eclipse Stakes. And
sounds like somewhere you would have been.
I have been there. Pam Lamaro, who owned Lamaro's Hotel there in South Melbourne. My dad won the Oaks for her in 1984 on Rom Stiletto. It might have been 83. Anyway, it was back in the day. But, yeah, Pam owned Rom Stiletto. It was named after her husband, Rom. So, yeah, it... bit of history there. So Ain't No Deal and Done. We'll get the money there. And then I like a Toowoomba race 2, number 7, Dragon Pins for Hutchie and Judd Stanley. Drawn a bit awkwardly, but as I have said to you off air, Chriso, Justin Stanley, he is a jet and he will just put it in the spot and get the money.
All righty. I am, before I get to mine, Thalassophile goes around at Caulfield. Race 9, the Summon Stakes for Chris Waller and Damien Lane. So that's where Gibbo's tip, Thalassophile, goes around. Now, our friend at South Australian Horse Racing Tips, go to Twitter, at @South_Tips. His name is Anthony. Last week, he tipped us these horses. Race 1, number 1, Midnight Mass. These are at Morfordville, a winner at $2.15. Race 3, number 3, All Beans, a winner at $2.90. Race 4, number 3, En Francais, second at $3.10. Race 7, number 3, My Khalifa, who, as I said, goes around every week.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And may not go around too many other weeks because it finished out of the placings. And race 9, number 9, Wakanjija, won at $2.50. So three winners and a second, I think that was. Three winners and a second there from Anthony last week. So, as I've said before, if you're not following South Australian Tips on Twitter or South Australian Horse Racing Tips, that's @South_Tips, then you are not doing yourself any favours. Now, tomorrow on the Parks track at Morfordville, he's tipping race 4, number 5, Argue Mama. Race 5, number 1, Big Option. The first one was a win. This one's each way, Big Option. Race 6, number 1, Fancify for the win. Race 9, number 1, Angerpin each way. And race 10, number 3, Howl each way. 4, 5, 5, 1, 6, 1, 9, 1, and 10, 3. Now, for me, Sammy.
Yes, Chris.
Well, I don't know what this weather's going to do. We don't really know if we're going to get these storms or not. But soft 7, if we stay something around that, I'm reasonably confident. I am confident about Ryan Maloney's mount that we spoke about earlier. Race 4, number 3, Defiant Spirit. I think we'll sit off them tomorrow and be too strong. And race 7, number 3, Abounding, who was very impressive for Martin Hutch. He's had some bad luck recently, Martin Harley.
He has.
He had that day at Doomben, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, he fell off 3 horses. And then he had a shocking ride there on Wednesday at Ipswich. Not his fault. The horse clipped heels before the home turn and nearly came off again. So he's a brave man after what he's been through since arriving in Queensland. So race 7, number 3, Abounding for Martin Harley. He'll get a lovely run tomorrow. Race 2, number 1, Encoder, I think is the horse that'll be suited up to 2,000 metres. I'll go with it to beat Felix the Scat. And in the George Moore, why can't the Big Goodbye run a race, Sam? He's a very, very honest horse. If Rothfire comes out, Zoo-Style leads clearly, he'll be right there, ready to pounce should Zoo-Style just feel the pinch late. Loves any sort of ground, rarely out of the placings, consistent. No?
Yeah, I think he's a really good horse. Yeah.
What were your tips in the two country finals series race?
I left those alone, but gee, can't they prove a little bit difficult? Tricky, those ones, can't they?
They are. I see Clinton Taylor's got another one coming down for Rockhampton in the first race, and gee, they've put it up odds on, and that is Valoris Performer, race one, number six, who won its only start. But gee, I tell you what, looking at the times in that race, they went, you and I could have beaten them early. They went that slow. And it was a five-horse race.
They'd have to go slow. I see Corey Guerin's got a couple of runners there. Didn't have any luck with the draws. Vanasta and Sammy.
Sammy's in.
Drew 21 and 22. Oh, that's awkward.
You'd be going with Sammy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've got to stick with him.
Stick with Sammy.
Stick with him.
All right, Sammy, we will catch up with you again next Friday for the Punters Mate. Same time, same place on SEN Track. I hope you have a great weekend.
Let's head to the Christmas party.
Let's
and
head to the Christmas party.
Let's
You'll
tear
be tearing. I'm driving home, so you can tear it up on your own. But I'll watch. Good luck, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us on the Punters Mate.